Hey everyone, and welcome to Season 4, Episode 4 of the podcast, What is Culture? My name is Rocco Lungarello, and I'm happy to share a very raw, very honest, and very inspiring conversation with Karen Litz, Tango's Director of Product Management and Compliance. So Karen works closely with a past guest on this show, Kevin Redman, as well as with our research and development team to support Tango's heritage portfolio of products, keeping them up and running and supported until the clients using them are eventually migrated to one of our newer, more advanced line of products. Additionally, Karen works alongside our compliance team to ensure our applications are compliant with security measures and data protection laws. Karen has been a remote employee of Tango for more than 20 years and currently lives in Roanoke, a city in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Southwest Virginia. She has undergone a number of mergers and acquisitions, and in that time, she's worked with nearly every department, including implementation, operations, customer service, development, product, sales, and legal. She is a wealth of product knowledge. She is a close follower of this podcast. She has seen many organizational changes, and she has overcome many personal challenges, making her an ideal person to bring on the show right now. In this episode, in addition to a discussion of the impact and effects of the coronavirus pandemic, Karen shares her battle with cancer at the age of 27 and what she calls the worst and best year of her life. She tells her story as a way to offer hope to those who may be experiencing their own challenges, both personally and professionally, as we endure a time of worry and uncertainty while we all try to embrace what some are calling the new normal. Here's my conversation with the incredibly inspirational Karen Litz. Let's all learn from her.
My first real job, but within a year of graduating from my master's, because my communications degree was in public relations, I had my dream job in public relations in DC, living in Arlington. Was working PR. It wasn't a sexy industry. It was compensation and benefits industry. So, but it was public relations, and I got published in, you know, U.S. News and World Report and the New York Times, and you know, I was very excited. And then what happened was the worst year of my life, which turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And people who know me know I say this a lot. The worst year of my life was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I say that a lot now because some people are going through the worst year of their life right now. I was 26, 27 years old, and I was diagnosed with cancer in my side of my head, in my face. Removing that left me completely paralyzed on one side of my face at age 27 in public relations and single. In the 90s, where tolerance for that wasn't so good. Then I had to go through radiation, which left me with screaming radiation burns, looking like something off a Hollywood set from a horror movie. And when I tell you people stared at me and pointed at me on the streets, I am not exaggerating. When I tell you strangers came up to me and asked me what happened, was in a car accident, I'm not exaggerating. The 90s, especially in the DC area, were not really kind to people who were not beautiful. And shortly after I came back from the radiation, my company outsourced the PR and marketing department, and I was out of a job.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, okay. Well, what that did was it encouraged me to move to the Roanoke Valley, where I live now in the Blue Ridge. I had family already out here. My parents were going to be retiring here. They had a house that I could, that they were renting out. They were between renters. It was where they were going to retire. They weren't ready to retire yet. I moved into that house. And had I not gotten sick but lost my job, I would have stayed in DC. Had I gotten sick but didn't lose my job, I would have stayed in DC. Those two things combined had me decide to move out to the Blue Ridge. And because of that, I had so much time with my parents before they passed away. I had so much time with my sister and her husband and children before they moved out of state. I met and married the love of my life. We've been married over 21 years. All of those things, none of that happens if that bad year doesn't happen. I have the life I have today because of that bad year. And I'm grateful for that.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing. I never heard that story. And It's incredible, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I can't imagine just at that age to have to go through an experience like that, just like the trifecta, right? To have to deal with all of that at once. It's either going to make or break you, no?
I joke that it was a character building experience, and I'm now the biggest character anyone knows. My family, my faith definitely got me through that. I went through a lot of reconstructive procedures. I still have some paralysis in my face, but it's not where it was. And, you know, I've learned to not care if people stare or point fingers, and they don't nearly as much as they used to. It either makes or breaks you. You go through something like that, and either you go sit in a closet or you say, you know what? This is making me stronger, and I am going to keep going forward. And I had a lot of support to help me choose the latter and to keep going forward.
Yeah, that's inspiring.
It ended my public relations career in a hurry. I can tell you that, because when I came back after the radiation, my colleagues were asking, well, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, we're pretty sure we got all the cancer. And they said, no, what are you going to do for a job? You can't be in PR looking like that. I'm like, oh, didn't realize.
That's horrible.
I think a lot of people say inappropriate things out of awkwardness or fear, or just they don't know what to say, and the wrong thing comes out. I've learned that you know, a lot of it isn't as mean as it sounds. They're just not sure what to do or say. So
I think they're being assholes, but that's just me.
I'll tell you a couple of stories where yes, that was definitely true.
You're too kind, but. You know, it's funny. I interviewed somebody a while back, Mike Searock, and what are you made of? And he had this notion where everyone has a story that from that point on kind of makes them who they are. And I think it either makes you or breaks you. I believe we do all have a story, and it's where you choose to go next after that happens is what defines you. And It's amazing that you went in that direction and continue to have that positive perspective. It's great. I mean, it's inspiring.
Thank you. It's been some years. It took me a while. I I'm not going to lie and say I'm so wonderful. It took me a while to be comfortable going back in public. It took me a while to be comfortable going into an interview or stand up in front of a customer to start an implementation and to not feel uncomfortable, you know, but it's been a lot of years since then, and I've matured and I've kind of, you know, gotten used to it, and I can kind of see the other side of it. It was very hurtful for a while. I don't have that many friends from before cancer. I had a lot of friends that just didn't know how to talk to me afterwards. They just were, I could tell they were so uncomfortable being around me because I physically changed so much, and it just made them very uncomfortable. But and at first that hurt, but I, you know, years, wisdom, all of experience. I can understand a little bit better now. It's tough, but you're right. I think it makes or breaks you. It kind of defines how you are going to handle the rest of your life. It also has taught me everybody has a story. You have no idea what they're going through. I wear mine on my face and I get a lot of sympathy because of it, but there's a lot of people who have gone through hell that they put on a smile and you have no idea. And you know, I really try and remember that. It's hard. I'm not always successful, just like I'm not always successful being a positive person. But I really try and remember that person who's being a jerk to you. You have no idea what happened to them this morning that may be causing them to be a jerk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's important. It's not easy to always do, but you have to, it's so important to be kind to people, because just how you treat somebody, just one small thing could just really crush somebody sometimes. So you just have to be super, super sensitive to what you say and how you treat other people.
And conversely, one small thing, kindness that you do or say, can totally lift somebody up. You know, you pass a stranger, maybe not these days, you're not allowed to pass a stranger on the street, but make a compliment. Or I've been in restaurants. I don't have children. I have 17 nieces and nephews and 9 more in the next generation. I come from a large family, but I've been in restaurants where I've seen parents, you know, with young children, and maybe sometimes they're struggling to get the kids to behave, or maybe the kids are behaving beautifully. I love to take the opportunity to stop and compliment the parent or just say, hang in there, it'll get better. And you can just see them visibly just be so grateful that a stranger is acknowledging how hard it can be to deal with a young child in a public arena. You know, you just never know when a kind word's going to just make somebody's day. So, and especially with what we're going through as a society today, whether it's within Tango, whether it's United States, globally, you know, people are really going through rough times now. And I'm trying, that's why I wanted to come on the podcast. I want to share that the worst year of your life can turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. And you may not know for a long time that it was the best thing that ever happened to you, but it really can get better. And sometimes the changes you're being forced to go through or the experiences you're being forced to go through, you'll look back and say, I'm grateful for that terrible experience because it made this next experience easier to deal with, or because it helped me, it allowed me to then help somebody down the road who was now going through that experience. This is, nobody wants to go through hard times. There are definitely silver linings and good things that can come out of it. It just sometimes takes a while to see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when you're living through it, you're never going to have that perspective. It's always just going to be like, what the hell? How could it get worse? Or, you know, it's tough to see the lessons that it's going to teach you when you're in the middle of it. And so for a lot of us, we are just in the middle of it, kind of, and all these things are happening. And so, yeah, I wanted to ask you specifically how the coronavirus, COVID-19, how has it affected you personally?
You know, it's the blessing here in this small town is that we have very relatively few cases. My husband works for a hospital organization. They've had fewer than 100 cases. They've got, I think, 5 people in the hospital with it. So the hospital's pretty much empty. And we've had 3 fatalities. You know, compared to the Northeast, these numbers are, you know, are minuscule. I actually had, speaking of the trifecta of things, so the week before we all got sent home to work, for those of us who weren't already there, that Thursday before, I broke my ankle. And I am somebody who started out walking. I now am what they call an interval runner. So I run for a little bit, walk for a little bit. It's really helped me to reclaim my health. I am healthier, stronger, and quite frankly, smaller than I have ever been in my life.
Good for you.
So, you know, I just feel I'm so much happier because I'm so much physically healthier. And then just stepped off a sidewalk wrong and broke my ankle just out of the blue. And that was on a Thursday. And then on Monday, my boss called me to let me know that he was going to take an opportunity for a new position and was leaving Tango. And then that next Thursday, Bob let us all know that we needed to all work from home. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what to hang on to right now. I mean, and we're all inside this tornado. It is still turning. You don't know what to grab onto to keep from being blown away. It's just been kind of crazy, but I don't have children like so many of my friends who are dealing with now having children 24 hours a day in their homes, which I can't imagine how hard that is. My husband, as I said, works for a hospital organization. He's in IT. He's still going into the office. So I still am alone in the house. It's not that much different other than having to move down to the dining room. So I wasn't taking the stairs with my bad ankle. It hasn't really, work-wise, hasn't changed much, but it changes as I'm working with people that it has changed for them. And so in the first 5-10 minutes of every meeting, you know, we check in, how are you doing? What's happened? You might, you know, somebody's having a good day, someone's having a bad day, or I just can't find my paperwork or whatever. It's changed work that way. And on a personal level, I miss getting out. So I'm used to working at home, but I'm used to getting out at the end of the day and going running or doing yoga. And I can tell you the day after I broke my ankle, before all of the rest of this broke, I was sitting there with my husband. I'm going, I'm going to have to cancel my yoga classes. I'm having to cancel the half marathons I'm signed up for. I'm not going to get up to New Jersey because I was supposed to be in the New Jersey office for a week and I wasn't allowed to fly. And I was feeling horrible for myself. Great self-pity that my whole life had just been turned upside down. And then everybody else has got turned upside down as well. But I miss getting together with my friends. I miss, it's harder for me to get out and walk and run by myself now that my doctor's released me. I did a half marathon alone last Friday. Doing 13 miles by yourself is, even with music or podcasts, it's a lonely thing. But
oh my gosh.
I signed up for a half marathon. And so when I was doing it virtually, so I could earn my medal, and I've got another one that's supposed to go up and down two mountains here in town this weekend. And I'll walk it, and it'll take a long time because walking it takes a lot longer than running it. I mean, we're talking 3 hours, three and a half hours out.
God. Wait, okay. So you broke your ankle in the beginning of March?
Yes, it'll be in the 6 weeks on Thursday.
And you ran a half marathon.
No. I walked it. I'm not released to run until May. So,
but still, okay. But so what, are you wearing a brace right now? Like, how are you,
I started in a really big boot that you couldn't put anything over. And then about 2 weeks ago, I graduated to a smaller brace that I can get my sneaker on. And so I can walk in my sneakers. And, you know, I set myself a course that was basically a figure eight loop around my car. Because first of all, you can't walk more than a mile or so in my town without starting to hit mountains. So I wanted to do something flat. I was emulating a course out of Sunset Beach, North Carolina, which is very flat. So I had to do this figure eight loop. I also wanted to be near my car so that if at any point my ankle started to give me trouble, I would just stop. I'm not going to sacrifice my health and recovering my ankle for, you know, it's something in my head that, gee, I need to do these 13.1 miles. So I did that, and the ankle held up fine. But I'm dying to run. I'm dying to run. I'm dying to see my friends and get out and do things. You know, we tend to eat the same throughout the week at home, but we miss kind of going out to restaurants and enjoying that. That's and I worry about the economy. I worry a lot about the economy. That's, you know, every company is going through reductions, and Tango and my husband's company are no different. And even though they're a healthcare organization, because nobody's seeing the doctor if they don't have the virus. And if they only have five patients in the hospital with the virus, there's a lot of people without something to do. So I'm probably more stressed about the economy and the global economy than I am about the health, if that doesn't sound too mean.
No, I agree. I get it.
Because I feel like when we have this under control and people are gaining their health back, it's going to take longer for the economy to recover. And that's going to hurt people in all kinds of ways. You know, when they first shut down basketball, all I could think of was, those poor vendors that walk up and down the stairs during games, hawking peanuts and cotton candy and Cracker Jacks, just lost their jobs. And I guarantee they don't have a lot of money to fall back on. You know, that's what, and I wasn't thinking about the basketball players. I'm thinking about those poor guys that are probably living paycheck to paycheck. And that's what probably impacts me. Yes, I'm very worried about people's health, but I feel like the impact of the economy is going to last longer.
Well, that's what's so tough about this particular time that we're all in, right? With the virus affecting the economy, affecting people's jobs, affecting our ability to interact. It's just so easy to be in isolation. And what also happens in isolation is you are self-obsessed, because it's just, you're constantly just thinking about yourself. My day is not going well, my job, my wife, my kids. There's a lot of me, because you're not surrounded by other people. You know, every day at work, when you have people around you, you can kind of get engrossed into their lives, into their troubles, and to be a person for them to tell you their issues. But it seems right now it's easy to get stuck in that world where you're just obsessed with yourself and you don't even realize it, because you can't stop thinking about your own well-being, and it's like, it's overwhelming.
You are 100% right. The physical isolation is causing the emotional isolation. And you can't see someone's face unless you're actually video chatting with them. If you're just texting or you're talking on the phone or you're emailing, you're not seeing their face. You're not exchanging that emotion. And you're right. Because you are physically isolated, you are now emotionally isolated as well. And you have to make the extra effort to connect with people.
And that is exhausting, to be honest, because you're like, I just had a really shitty day. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be somebody else's motivator. But that's so selfish.
It is. But it's also, give yourself some grace. It's also human. It's okay. when you've had a bad day, to say, you know what, I've had a bad day, I need to be left alone. That's okay, as long as you don't prolong that forever. Yeah. I mean, I've gone through some bad times, or I have said to other people, I said, I'm not doing well. And that's hard for me to say, especially like I said this to a colleague a couple of weeks ago. I'd had a pretty bad day, and I said, I got to tell you, I'm not okay. I'm forcing it. And it's not, you know, the fake it till you make it. I was faking it. It wasn't making it. It was not coming. And it's okay to retreat a little bit. And that's why I said I also escape. Then I try and immerse myself. I'm even rewatching Criminal Minds, even though that kind of probably sounds weird. But it's to me, it's so clearly Hollywood. It is engrossing enough that I stop thinking about current events and stop thinking about what's going on in this world. I have limiting my exposure to news and to social media. I'm actually timing myself, because you can just get so engrossed in that. And it brings me down. I need to know what's going on, but I can't spend 3 hours just surfing from one news article to the next, because it's just going to be like this big boulder I'm trying to lift up. I can't do it. So yeah. By stepping away from that, staying informed but not engrossed has helped me as well. If you can motivate yourself to help somebody else, it 9 times out of 10 it's going to help you. But it's also okay to say, not today, take care of me. And a friend of mine that shared this expression with me, I think it's so true, and that is, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And I know I've seen it out on shirts and coolies and what have you. But if you are totally exhausted, if you are totally emotionally depleted, you can't help somebody else. You cannot pour from an empty cup. So it's okay to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what is, not only because this is unprecedented, but because we have no idea how long it's going to last. Nobody knows at this point what things are going to look like a week from now, let alone a month from now or 3 months from now. And we hear people making all these predictions. It's over with tomorrow. It's going to last till 25. It is, nobody knows. Mm-mm. You know, I've always said I can go through any tunnel. Just tell me how long it is, and I'll, you know, prepare my mind and I'll get through that tunnel. Don't move the end of the tunnel on me. I don't do well with not knowing how long this is going to take. And I think that's probably what's getting a lot of people down, is they don't, if they knew, okay, you know, come 4th of July, we're going to celebrate Independence Day and everything's going to start getting back to normal. It won't be back to normal immediately, but we can at least flip the switch. Is that July 4th? I don't know. Nobody knows. People can predict, but that unknown and the potential of it going for what feels like forever, I think is overwhelming. It is for me anyway. When I do races, I drive the course, or I run the course, or walk the course in advance. I know what it's going to be. I know it's 13 miles, but I know exactly what to expect throughout those 13 miles. My husband, he's a Spartan racer. He loves the unknown. They get there, they don't even know. When they start the course, they don't know how long it's going to be. They know the range of how long it's going to be. They don't know what obstacles they're doing. That, you know, somewhere like a Spartan Beast is between 13 and 15 miles. They don't know till they finish it how long it was. They don't know what the woods and the water and running on sand and what have you. They have obstacles. They don't know how many. They don't know which obstacles they're going to face that day. It's very, you just have to be able to go with it. And that suits him to a T. I would go nutso. I'm a planner. I like to know.
Yeah, me too. And I think there's something about the unknown that is really good at creating anxiety for people. And I think, you know, just talking to you today on April 15th, it's been just about a month since we were told from the executive team, you know, work from home until the end of the month. Or at this point, it's April 30th. It's only been a month, really, of us kind of being somewhat isolated. But we don't know when we'll be back to normal. So that's the challenging part.
And isolation is, I mean, you know, solitary confinement in prisons can drive people mad. I mean, the isolation, and I'm alone. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I'm having to isolate with my family. I really never want to spend this much time with them. I mean, it's hard. It's losing that human contact of even going to the store on a regular basis and interacting with the person bagging your groceries. It's losing that's very unhuman. and if that's the word I'm looking for, I think it's throwing everybody, and the whole world is in it. And so you almost feel like, oh my gosh, this world's never going to recover from this. It will recover from this. I 100% believe that. And I personally believe it will not 2025. It'll be a whole lot sooner than 2025. We're going to be okay. And we're going to be changed for the better as a global society. This is going to change us for the better.
Yeah.
I would love for it never to have happened, but there are silver linings out there, and it's going to change us for the better.
So how has COVID-19 affected you and your team professionally?
So one of the biggest ways is we're trying to migrate our customers from these solid older heritage products to the go forward products. And while the majority of that work's being done by Tangaroos, we do need customer engagement to do that. Our customers don't want to focus on that right now. Understandably, they need to focus on keeping their businesses going and taking care of their people. So it has definitely slowed the migrations, which means we in the heritage products have to figure out, okay, I was thinking, this product would be sunsetted by this date. That's not going to happen now. I need to make sure I'm keeping that product up and running and supporting the customers who are still on it, and kind of feeling out. I have a customer call later today, feeling out, we can still get you over the line, and trust me, you'll be happier in a month. Or let's back off, let's pause, let's put everything on hold. So that's affected the team a lot in what we do and how we look at our products and our primary objectives. I mean, one of our game plan objectives is consolidation, right? That's mm-hmm. and to consolidate, you have to migrate. And we're having to pause that a little bit for the good of our customers, but that's what we're here for. We're here for our customers. So we're doing what's the right thing for our customers. And so that's okay. We've had staff reductions across the company. That's impacted people I know on a personal level, as people I work with on a regular basis. I've lost someone from my team. I will say that person has been immensely professional and shown great integrity. They have worked hard. They've turned over everything. They've answered all questions. They've made themselves available. They've kept a positive attitude and understanding that it's not personal. It's just a hard reality that every company is going through. As I said, my husband's company just announced it as well. Every company globally, back to why I worry about our economy. So that's tough, but it's also tough saying goodbye to people who there was somebody who I've worked with for 15 years that I said goodbye to today. I mean, I'll stay in touch with them, but it feels different.
Yeah, it's the worst. And, you're the first person I've interviewed since, because when I put out episodes, typically it's from an interview I'd done a few weeks back. But you're the first person that I've interviewed since Tango decided to move ahead with cost reductions that have affected all of us.
Yeah.
The town hall was on April 2nd. And when we, when the news was received, I mean, that was a punch to the gut for a lot of us. And for that to happen during such an already uncertain time, the anxiety level went through the roof. And truthfully, and this is just my opinion, right? The morale of the company took a nosedive too, I'm sure. I mean, it's hard. This is a hard time.
Everybody stopped pretty much for the rest of that day, was just walking on eggshells, trying to digest what just happened. Tango's no different from, as I said, every company is going through this. Every company leadership is trying to figure out how to keep the company running for the most people that they can keep it running for. It's heartbreaking. I also wouldn't want to be leadership having to make those tough decisions either. Nobody wants this. But you can, throw some, you can reduce headcount and try and keep the company running, or you can hang on and sink the company as a whole. I don't know. I am not in leadership, so I'm not having to make those decisions. I'm not privy to all of the details there, but I can be certain that nobody in leadership wanted to have to make that decision. But it did. It totally tanked morale. And it is at every company that it's happening to. And it's one of the evils of what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it also because you don't feel like there's jobs out there. So if I lose this job, I'm out of work. You know, it's not like, well, okay, our company's going through a tough time, but there's other companies that are hiring. Because every company's going through this, there's that greater fear of what do I do?
Right. And the people that have left, you know, today was the last day for a lot of people. You can't even give them a hug goodbye because everybody's in isolation. And it's just like, that to me is tough because there's a few people that I would wish I could have given a hug goodbye. And I obviously you can't. And it's just such a bizarre time. And it's tough. It's really tough. And it's like I said, you know, when we talked before, do we keep doing a podcast during a time like this? Like, is it insensitive? Do people even care? Or I don't know. It made me question the whole thing because part of me is like, you can't stop now. How can you stop now when things are really tough?
You can't. If you stop during bad times, then your podcast is falsely showing that, oh, we only have good times because that's the only times we talk about. Your podcast is an opportunity to let people know that no matter how bad it gets, it can and will get better. And it's okay to be sad or overwhelmed or depressed or frustrated for a while. Keep moving through those stages. It is going to get better. For those left behind, you just probably got a whole lot more work. You've just lost friends. For those that had to be reduced, now you're facing, you know, uncertainty financially for you and what's going to happen with your career. It's going to get better. The worst year of my life included being laid off. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And it wasn't the best thing 6 months later or a year later or even 3 years later, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. This will get better. And if the one thing we can do with your podcast is give people a glimmer of hope that it always has the opportunity to get better if you let it, if you keep that at least a little bit in the focus that yes, it can get better. It really will.
So that's the show, and really an important one in so many ways. You know, I've been meaning to have Karen on this podcast for a while, but I think she came on at the perfect time. Thank you, Karen, and not only for sharing the defining year in your life, but also for having the courage to discuss some difficult topics with me, to come on this show at such an uncertain time, and to offer our listeners some hope and perspective. I appreciate it more than you know, and I'm sure our audience does as well. That is all. Take care of yourself and each other. And as always, if you'd like to be a guest on an upcoming episode, please reach out to me and we'll make it happen. You could get my contact information at whatisculturepodcast.com. Until next time.